Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Delighted to be with you again by radio today and hope that the radio broadcast is a blessing. We're reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 through verse 20. Notice with me as we come to our text today, the title of our message is Three Charges to Timothy. We find here beginning in verse 17, it says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Well, Heavenly Father, we do pray today for thy anointing and thy blessing upon the reading of Scripture. And we pray, Lord, for that soul that is nearest hell, that they would come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also pray today for the saints, that they would be edified in the faith. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now notice as we come to our text, we find that in verse 17 and in verse 18, especially verse 18, we find here that it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." We find that the Apostle Paul, an elder minister, writes to Timothy, and we refer to Titus and Timothy as pastoral epistles, which deal with the ministry. And he writes to Timothy, a younger preacher, and in this chapter, verse 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." We find that Timothy was converted under the Apostle Paul's ministry, probably during his first missionary journey, and he joined Paul, helping him on his second missionary journey. And I come to those conclusions by reading in 2 Timothy and chapter 1, and also the book of Acts in chapter 16. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to speak from this text today, in our church, I have done a series of messages on the subject of ministry. We have done four, and in the past, we have done many others associated with the ministry, the man of God, the preaching of God's word, the leaders and officers and elders in the church. And so this is the second message that I have done by radio dealing specifically with the ministry. Now, if you want to listen to the sermons that were done in our church, you can find us at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you need to go to the sidebar and come down to the section titled Speakers, type my name in, which is Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. There's many other ministers on that particular website. But if you go to biblicaltruth.info, that will carry you directly to our personal website. And on that website, we have literally hundreds of sermons and articles. The sermons are, most of them are full-length sermons. In other words, they are basically, they're twice the material in them as they are on the radio program. And you'll find many articles, and an article is simply a sermon in print. Now, notice as we come to our text, we're going to consider today three charges that was given to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. A charge is just simply a command received from a superior. And so we find, coming to verse 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, we're talking about the minister, his responsibilities, what God has called him to do. And so the first thing that we want to look at is the fact that of these charges, these three commands that are given to Timothy, first one is a charge concerning warfare. It is a charge concerning warfare. Notice again the latter part of verse 18 that he says here, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Now, when we come to the subject of preaching God's word, the God-called man, we find that God has called him into a position of warfare. Now, in one sense of the word, every Christian is involved in warfare. The Christian life is really a battleground. It is not a playground. And we find that we as Christians, and especially the ministers, that we have been enlisted into God's army. And so a good warfare, he calls it, because this warfare is of God. We know that in their world, there's many wars that are going on. And there always has been wars. Most of them are not good warfares. But this spiritual warfare that we're in, it is a good warfare. Notice again, verse 18, he said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Well, we're in a battle, and we have three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And in this particular case, he mentions the devil. He mentions those who are opposing the truth, because he says, after he mentions in verse 17, speaking of Christ, he said, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He gives the charge in verse 18. In verse 19 and 20 that we read a moment ago, he said, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." Verse 20, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Now, in our text here, we see clearly that the Apostle Paul is giving Timothy this charge, this command, as an elder preacher to a younger preacher, and he's encouraging him to stand true as a good soldier of Jesus Christ in this warfare. Verse 19 and verse 20, he tells us there are those who oppose the truth of the gospel. Now, we are actually called soldiers in 2 Timothy and chapter 2. If you'll notice there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, in Psalms 144 verse 1, the Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." In the Old Testament, Israel was a theocracy. They were made up of kings and priests, and they had geographical boundaries, and so God led them into certain battles. Now, the church is not a theocracy. The church does not have geographical boundaries. The church is scattered throughout the entire world. And as Israel fought many physical battles on the battlefield, we find that the church, the Israel of God, fights many battles on the battlefield. But our battles today are spiritual battles. And so we have enlisted into God's army. We have a spiritual warfare. As a matter of fact, we sing hymns such as Onward, Christian Soldier, and Hold the Fort, For I Am Coming, and other songs that are associated with our spiritual warfare. And so as being enlisted in God's armies, he's telling his preachers, and really all Christians, that we're not to break ranks. We're to stand true and endure hardness as a good soldier. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, Paul writing to young Timothy, he says in verse 1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now here's the verse I'm after, verse 3. He said, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So no doubt in our text, we are considered as soldiers. We're in God's army. We have been enlisted into God's army when we became a Christian. Now, there's many other verses that really bear this out. And as the Apostle Paul closed his last letter in 2 Timothy chapter 4:7, we'll read that text a little bit later in our message. He closes the letter, and one of the statements that he makes is that he says, I have fought a good fight. Now, here's three verses that we see dealing with the subject of warfare, just in 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he said that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see that in verse 3, that he says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then again, in verse 4, he said, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So no doubt, the man of God is a soldier enlisted in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then again, the verse I gave you, 2 Timothy 4, we'll turn there in a few moments and read that. But in that passage, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And so, without any doubt, we are in a war. It is called a warfare. And we find other verses that will support this principle. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32, the Apostle Paul said that he had fought with beasts at Ephesus. He's referring to men as beasts, but he fought them, not literally, not physically, not getting out and having a fist fight or taking knives and guns and going at one another, but he's talking about a spiritual warfare that is mentioned many times in the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, we find that we're told, beginning in verse 10 down through about verse 20, we're told that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Now, that's an interesting statement. The armor of God. He's talking about spiritual armor. And he tells us why. He said that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have an enemy. And he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then again, he says to put on the whole armor of God. And then he begins describing that spiritual armor, beginning with our loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, putting on the or taking up the shield of faith, putting on the helmet of salvation, and having the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he closes that section in verse 18, 19, and 20, dealing with the subject of prayer. These are all spiritual weapons that we have, that we're to wear, that we're to carry, that we're to put on. And we also find again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 clearly tells us that our warfare is spiritual. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." In other words, they're not fleshy. They're not physical. He said, "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So again, our weapons of warfare as a Christian are not carnal. And what are we to do? We are to pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the strongholds, we are to war against them. And the imaginations, that is human reasoning and human logic and human philosophy, exalted opinions, they become walls as the walls of Jericho, and we must deal with that in our own life and in the life of others, especially as the ministers of God. I repeat again that we are in a battle. This is a battleground, this earth that we live on. This is a battleground. And the battle is not won until we walk through the gates of heaven. Well, let me give you another charge. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, the elder to the younger, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Notice here's a charge concerning our work. We are workmen. We are employed by God. And if I read again the surrounding verses, he's again dealing with the responsibility of standing for the truth and opposing what is wrong. He says clearly in verse 14, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Then verse 16 says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrown the faith of some." Verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Again, in the context, he is dealing with false doctrine. There are those who are denying the resurrection or saying that the resurrection is past. And so he tells Timothy, he gives him a charge in verse 14, and he says, this charge is concerning his work, but he says in verse 15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. a rightly dividing the word of truth. That means to properly interpret the word of God. It has the ideal of to cut straight, referring to correctly handling the truths of the word of God. As a farmer plowing a straight furrow, as a father cutting bread so each member of the family receives just the right portion that is needed. It's like a carpenter that cutting a piece of wood properly. It's like a tent maker cutting a piece of cloth or canvas. It's like a mason that would cut a stone or a brick to place it in a building in a wall. I used to be a brick mason by trade, and I was in the business between 8 and 10 years before I was called into the ministry. And I learned how to cut bricks and blocks and stones so that they would fit properly into the wall or into the building, the structure that we were putting together. And so here's the charge concerning Timothy's work. Let me read it again, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want you to think about that. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy was to study the scripture as a minister of God. He was to study, but also we find that he is referred to as a workman. He is employed by the Lord God. Now, there's another charge I want to give to you quickly, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading in verse 1. And it begins with this, I charge thee. Now, this is our third charge, and this is concerning the word of God. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables are just stories. That's what we hear a lot today in many pulpits, is story after story after story, and illustration after illustration, and not the preaching of God's word. Well, here's a charge concerning the word. We've seen a charge concerning warfare. We're in a battle, and we're to fight this spiritual battle. We've seen a charge concerning our work. We're to study. Study is work. To study and try to bring out the truths of God's word, it is work. And if you've never done it, try it sometime. It is work. It takes a lot of time and effort to do it. But now we come to a charge concerning the word of God. He says in verse 2, preach the word of God. He also says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So we find in this text clearly that we are charged as ministers of God to preach God's word. To preach God's word. We see this again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. We see it again in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. He tells Timothy, the elder to the younger, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Clearly in this text, we see the importance of God's Word. We're sanctified through the Word of God according to the book of John in chapter 17. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy word, thy truth, rather, thy word is truth. So we're sanctified through the truth, through the Word of God, and so we see in our text the importance of the truth. One old Puritan stated, you cannot give God's children too much of their own, of their father's bread. Let me quote that again. An old Puritan stated, you cannot give God's children too much of their father's bread. Well, in Isaiah 58:1, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Well, clearly, we see that the man of God is to preach the Word of God. He's a watchman on the wall. He is to stand true to the Word of God. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, please notice with me, 6 through 8. Verse 6 through 8. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul preached the Word of God until the day that he was martyred. He never compromised. He stayed in the battle. He was in the warfare. He never compromised at all. We find that he did the work, he labored, and he preached the Word of God. Well, I want to leave this with you today. Our time is drawing near. As preachers are to preach the Word of God, never get upset or irritated with them for doing so, because they're commanded to do so. They'll be in trouble with God if they don't do so. So I leave with you today the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He died for your sins, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. And God says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why that the Lord has commanded His preacher to preach the Word of God, because there is no salvation apart from the Holy Scripture. I trust and pray that you, if you're lost, that you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Savior. God has promised to save you. There's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, rejoice in the Word of God. And pray for your preacher and where you go to church, because God has commanded him to preach the Word of God clearly and plainly. Well, our time is come and gone. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.